Rivers Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome in on this Thursday. Marty's at the job fair. Chris Baker is in for the first half hour today on MSG and WGR Sports Radio 550. Hi, Bakes. How you been hitting them?
Fairly straight. Still can't putt, but hey, thanks for having me today. It's always nice. This is the time of year. I got to start retraining my brain. Mm-hmm. Get ready for hockey season. So I'm looking forward to chatting with you here.
Two visits in close proximity here for you and me and our crew on Sabres Live as we are less than a month away from the preseason opener, which is Buffalo-Pittsburgh at KeyBank on the 21st of September. And then not too long after, we'll be talking about Europe and the opening of the regular season and where Buffalo could, should see its greatest impact from young players. So I've created just this, you know, we live in this sortable world statistically, but I think more often than not, when people want to look at a team's younger players, they kind of go 23 and under. Am I wrong? Like, it sounds like 23 and under is like a good barometer, right?
You 100%.
You get guys that are probably just experienced enough that you've seen a taste of what they can do, and you're in full projection mode as to where they can go from where they are right now. The Sabres still have a ton of these players, 23 and under, some who barely scratched the surface in the NHL, others like Dylan Cousins, already approaching almost 300 NHL games. So if you're sitting here August 22nd, who are you looking at among this kind of group of 23 and under that can really step up and be a season changer? Let's put it that way, for the Sabres this year.
I would say it starts for me with a healthy Jack Quinn. And I understand that he's been skating a lot, getting ready for the season, down there almost every day, working with the skating coaches. And for me, you know, I go back to Quinn's breakout season 2 years ago and said, okay, this is a guy, he had the opportunity to process what he just saw. He knows what it's going to take now to become a 30-goal scorer in the NHL. Mm-hmm. And I love the way he shoots the puck. I love the way he battles. He has all the tools. He just needs to stay healthy. He's the guy that it starts with me, because, you know, we saw Cousins kind of get it back on track at the end of last season. I think he's poised to have a very big season. But for me, it's like, who's going to score the goals? Who's going to get that goal differential back up and the positive in the green? When you look at the NHL.com standings, then it starts with Quinn. For me, honestly, he's a guy who can really fill the net, because we know he can do it.
Are you set in stone to a certain extent as to who he should be playing with?
Yeah, I'm not disrupting how they ended the season. Okay. And this impacts where you put Jason Zucker, because I still put Zach Benson up there. It was Benson, Cousins, Quinn at the end of last season, I believe. And that's kind of how I like having, you know, unless, you know, Jiří Kulik comes in and just blows you away and blows up that whole dynamic of how you look down the middle. But I like the Cousins and Quinn handcuff there. And they're going to have to rotate that left side and figure out who can fit there best. But I do like Benson right now, because I think Benson's another guy who could take a pretty big leap here. Same reasons that I just said, Duffer. He just had a whole season to process it. He had a little bit of time to sit down, came back. Did he have some off nights? Yeah. But I kind of like that handcuff of Cousins and Quinn.
Yeah, I think it's important, certainly for both, but for Dylan too, to have, you know, that chemistry. Dylan just unfortunately fell into a too large of a group last year that weren't able to get right back to that same number, you know, from the previous year. But I do think that he's in a good, I kind of stumped Marty yesterday, and now maybe I've stumped myself moving forward, because I basically threw out, I'm not married to any pairing or line combination at this point, because we were briefly talking about like who's with Thompson and Tuck yesterday. And I said, A, I don't know if they have to be together, and B, if they are, like, part of me just wants to throw Zucker up there and then balance out the other two lines, you know, with all this young talent. So I don't know. I'm seeking input.
Well, here's the thing, okay, with Cousins, I think I have a theory on him, and I think he may have even addressed this somewhat in his postseason availability, where I think he was a young player. He wants to be a leader because he's a natural born leader. And I think he took on a lot, maybe too much. And I think having the rest of the, how they added in free agency with Malenstein and bringing in Obey Kubel and Lafferty, these are guys that can play maybe a similar role and do some of that lifting that maybe Cousins felt he had to take upon himself last year. So now if you have a little bit more leadership spread out, Dylan can play his game. I'm with you on the familiarity. Like, say they put Zucker up top and you kept Tage at center. By the way, Tage is a centerman right now, but does he have to be moving forward? That's another question, right?
But come on, why would we do this?
Listen, if you want to blow it up, you want to go full blender, let's go full blender, okay? But say you have Tage at center with Tuck and you put Zucker up there, then you have Paterka, Cousins, Quinn. You get the band back together from a couple seasons ago, and that's not a bad situation for the Sabres to be in either.
Right, but when you sound as optimistic as you do about Benson, and for good reason, like, does Benson turn whatever line he is on into a more balanced offensive line as opposed to, you know, he's still at 30 points, not playing high up, obviously, but he did play more than 70 games, so he got more than the taste. Like, you know me, I'm like, give me three lines that can score at least. Like, that's kind of where I'm at. And I know that may fly in the face of, you know, some conventional wisdom right now, but yeah, I don't know. Like, can Zach have the impact you want him to have if he's on the third line?
I mean, he can, but that's also why I kind of like having Zucker down there to kind of maybe add some of that pop, like a little bit more proven track record of getting to the net and scoring goals. I like him down there, say Greenway's on the opposite side. And, but here, I just like having Benson managing those minutes with a Cousins as your second centerman because he plays such a responsible game. And again, it's all about the processing. That's what he was lauded as a draft prospect. Now he has a whole season of input and data where I'm expecting him to come out. And that's where I'm penciling him to start. I think he's, I hate to say Swiss Army knife because we say it, it's overused, right? He's kind of like that. I think you can put Benson anywhere, technically, in this lineup.
There are other forwards. Roseanne, Paterka still falls into the under 23 and under. I know you're ridiculously high on him, so maybe that separates him from the rest of this group. I.e., he was almost at 30 goals last year. So, but Cousins was over 30 a couple of years ago too. So I kind of I'm very curious as to see whether any of these other names. It's unlikely Oslin and Wahlberg or Hellenius at the NHL level, but one should never close the door. But I think what I'm most interested in is that you immediately gravitated to forwards. When my fixation now on the 23 and under and franchise changing and thus in-season changing here, I think it's Owen Power. I think if Owen Power plays at a much higher and or let's say equal to his draft pedigree level, which is a first overall pick, I think this, and this is not to put any like stupid pressure on the kid, I just think he's capable of an awful lot more. And it's his third full year. And if he goes like this, wouldn't the team be very likely to follow, in your opinion?
Oh, 100%. And I think the things that we're saying about Owen Power right now and trying to project him are a lot of the same things that we said about the player that he was compared to in his draft year when he was in his third year. And that's the guy that's a big 6 foot six, six, what is he, 6'7" down in Tampa, Hedman. Okay. And I'm not trying to say, but we waited a while for him to figure it out, understand how big he is, understand how physically dominant he can be without blowing guys up, but using his physical gifts to make an impact, to win pucks. But that's not the hallmark of his game. Owen Power is a very good offensive player, but it's going to start, I think, with him getting the confidence and winning battles in the defensive zone. That's the thing I'm looking forward to. I don't disagree with him being the guy that you circle on your under 23. I don't know. You probably have a spreadsheet knowing you, Duffer.
Just terrible handwriting. That's it.
No, but I get where you're going with that completely. But I've, you know, I have a lot of patience for him just because we've seen similar players of the talent level and size take a little bit of time. They're no different than goaltenders sometimes. I hate to say it, but yeah, he's got that first overall tag. It does come with pressure, whether you want to place it on him or not. So I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. I think that as he goes, the team probably will go this season.
Jordan LaBarber is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Jordan will get into some early, you know, training camp storylines and things of that nature. We have a little mailbag opportunity on the website right now at sabres.com to submit questions. So we'll build off of that. So I don't want to completely railroad Jordan's segment, but who do you think Power is best to be paired up with among this current group?
I still can't figure this out. I think may have even touched upon this the last time we were together, and it boils down to, I'm going to work backwards, okay, from the bottom, because I think if you look at a Clifton-Samuelson pairing down there, you're probably okay, even though Samuelson, I think, could play up top, right? So that leads me to say, okay, we saw Joki Haru end the season with Dahlin. Lindy had some nice, he mentioned Joki Haru in his press conference too, right? As like one of these young players that, I don't know, if I'm connecting dots, he seems to like, that leaves me with Bo Byram and Owen Power. Now, I think a lot of people want to see Byram with Dahlin, and rightfully so. You want to talk about not being married to anything and trying out every combination. They could look like the Amerks in preseason. We talked about the Amerks, different line, different defensive pairs every night. Probably going to see a lot of that shuffling around here in the first stretch of the season, definitely in the preseason, as they try to figure out who. Right now, I go Byram to answer your question in a very roundabout way.
And he also falls into that category, Bakes. He's 23 and under, just on the cut line right now. And I think based on more so, you know, the lack of team success down the stretch last year, I think it left a lot of people wondering, well, how will Byram most likely be able to impact this team moving forward? So what is it you see in his game that, you know, is it like a complementary piece to one of these aces, like a Power and a Dahlin? Or could we still see, in your opinion, like a big year from Bo Byram, where people are going, holy cow, this is ridiculous how much offensive talent they have on the blue line.
I like the way the aesthetics looked when he was playing with Dahlin. They can switch off left and right. They flowed really well together. I think sometimes their metrics maybe were a little uneven night to night, but they also had some tough matchups, right? Just the nature of the beast when they're out there usually trying to shut down the opposition's top line. But he also could be that Dahlin light in terms of that mobile guy that can really move the puck and add a lot of motion in the offensive zone. And that's where, going back to your point, if Owen Power goes, right, then you have a lot more flexibility with how you use Bo Byram. I see Bo Byram, though, as a guy, we've seen him be a play driver from the back end early in his career in Colorado. He saw a little bit of it here and there as he adjusted. But I see him as that guy that is really going to be that play driver moving forward. I just love his handle on the puck, and I love what he does when the play gets up in the offensive zone. He breaks down the box. He breaks down the defensive shell, and it creates opportunities and seams, and he's a great passer of the puck. We saw that in his very brief stint here at the end of last season. So I love his two-way look to his game. And again, is that more of the same? I mean, that could be, if he plays with Power, it could look very much how it looked when he played with Dahlin.
Right.
Maybe that could be that flow, but I have to see it.
For obvious reasons, namely the title of the show, Sabres Live, we focus more on the Buffalo prospects. But in the context of an offseason, you're constantly looking at your rivals and the change that they undergo. You can't omit veteran signings and additions. But for the sake of the exercise that we're on here in the 23 and under crowd, roughly, like when you look around the division, let's say, and what Buffalo is immediately up against most often on the schedule, the likes of being lumped in with the Montreal, Detroit, Ottawas of the world that are still trying to get in, and then try to tear down the Torontos, Tampas, Floridas, Bostons of the world. Like, who are the other young players within the division that you would see as impactful and maybe even still under the radar? And that's the thing. Like, we tend to blow up, obviously, the Buffalo names, but the fact of the matter is everyone is trying, and a lot of them perhaps have more talent, emerging talent, than what you might think.
Yeah, there's two players that kind of come to mind when you think about this, because I look at the divisions as a whole, and I think that like Ottawa did pretty well this year, just like adding to their role players. Mm-hmm. You know, they picked up Michael Mattia, who I love. Mm-hmm. But really, there's a player there who I think is going to come back this season. He missed half of last year, and I think he's going to have a big season this year. And I know he's already, I think, been a 20-goal scorer, but I think Shane Pinto is going to have a chip on his shoulder this year. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny because I think the shoulder of another player ahead of him on the depth chart is probably going to play a role in how he functions this year with Josh Norris, right?
Yeah.
Pinto, I think, though, I love this player. I think he's going to have a pretty big year. I look at him as going to be a key on a pretty decent forward group there in Ottawa. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you really call that a breakup, but there's another player.
No,
you
it's,
know,
when, I think he fits. I do think he fits. Yeah.
When you look at, I don't, you know, it was funny because earlier, like Montreal was pretty quiet, right? Mm-hmm. Start the offseason, and then they made the big trade. And when you look at their roster, you know, especially their forward grouping, Slafkovský had a nice end of the season up there with Suzuki and Caulfield up top. And now if Kirby Dach comes back healthy and you put Laine on the right side, I think that left winger, I think Newhook, Alex Newhook, I think could have a very big season. He had 13 goals, 14 goals, goes to Montreal, had a little bit of an injury shortened season. He probably played a little over 50 games last year, had 15 goals. He's probably like a 25 to 27 goal scorer, honestly. Super Agreed. Talented. Lit it up in college, was always a prolific scorer, just an offensive producer, all coming up 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. That's a guy that I look at right now as a secondary layer in Montreal's attack that could really move their needle. And we talked about goal differential. He could be one of those guys that really lessens that gap. They got to get the goaltending too, right?
They do. And we may get to that in the topic of Askarov coming up and his situation in Nashville. But when you look at, I know they just moved one of them and Harris in the Line A deal, but do you not look at Montreal as incredibly rich on the prospect blue line?
Well, for sure. I mean, it's not just Caden Gooley. I mean, even when you go down to like Struble and some of these other guys that we've seen in the prospect challenge, they got guys coming up that we haven't even
Hudson,
really seen.
Right. Yeah.
Hudson's going to be there. Yep.
Reinbacher. And like, I think they have an incredible, incredible, you know, logjam, for lack of a better term. Like, I think they will be able to utilize this to their advantage and perhaps very quickly.
Similar to Buffalo, like we just talked about with all these young guys, but a different flavor, a different look, different skill sets. Yeah. And, you know, they still have Savard. I think there is that kind of the elder statesman to kind of mix
him
in
and Matheson,
block shots and do all that.
Yep.
So, you know, he's a guy that can help bring those young guys along. But no, you're right on the money there. I think that they're a team that, you know, maybe a lot of fans haven't thought about because they finished low in the standings last year. But when you look at the division as a whole, like Florida, they kept their forward core intact, but I think their defense is going to be tested on many nights, their depth anyways. Mm-hmm. And who knows what they're going to do moving forward with Ekblad, right? I mean, losing Montour, they lose OEL. I think when you look at the teams that finished above the Sabres, Toronto may have done decently.
Actually, well, sure. Yeah.
Right. With how they bolster their blue line.
Yeah.
With Ekman Larson and Tanev. I mean, it's going to change. Mm-hmm. That's always been like the missing link up there. They've loaded it forward, you know, because all they'd really lost was Bertuzzi. But I look at the teams underneath the Sabres, you know, Ottawa and you mentioned them all, Ottawa, Montreal, but then another breakout player real quick and a young defenseman who I think we should really be looking at in Detroit is Simon Edvinson.
Thank you. Yes.
Six overall. I think that he's set. Like he hasn't like gotten full traction yet.
Mm-hmm.
Kid, it's a monster. He's got the wingspan and he can skate. And, you know, they have Sider going. He's moving and grooving. He's just doing his thing. But Edvinson, I think, is a big piece of the puzzle there. I didn't mind what Detroit did this offseason. You know, they re-upped Kane and added Tarasenko. But Edvinson taking that next step, I think, is going to be crucial to them being a team that really pushes Buffalo.
Agreed. I think that's obviously we all sit here with the assumption that they're going to get the Sider and Raymond deals done. It is taking an awfully long time, but you know, I don't know, based on, you know, what happened with Edmonton and St. Louis, like I'd be wanting to get the RFAs locked up rather quickly here. But anyway.
Thomas Harley, too, out in Dallas, by the way, right? I don't want to jump off.
Oh, I know.
He's another one. Like, what's going on there?
I know.
A smart GM might start saying, do I dip into the Armstrong bag of tricks here? But I don't want to get you off track, but it was one I was thinking about. I was like, wow, how is he not done?
I know. By the way, speaking of young defensemen, did you think the Bruins found something in Mason Laurie last year? I mean, 6'5", you know, they've had turnover there on the blue line. They need their, you know, they need that. They need like Tampa, like every now and again, you just need a surprise there to fill the gaps because you're constantly up here in the standings, right? I thought he was, his season got derailed due to injury, but Poitras up front, right? Like they might have a couple of things happening there in Boston.
No, you keep waiting for them to just fall. And, you know, they're getting older every year at the top, but they do find ways to find that cheap help. It's no different than Tampa, right? Like a Mitchell Chafee could be a guy in Tampa that just takes off if he gets an opportunity. Mm-hmm. But I think Lowry, no, great player, great skater. We saw him here in the, last September look good. Mm-hmm. I wasn't surprised just following him along on his journey as a prospect. He was always real smooth and competitive and just did his job and not surprised to see him. I think they found a good one.
Yes, and of course, they need to get the Swayman deal done there in Boston. Beyond that, let's focus on the goaltending with Askarov specifically because he's a name that is now out there on the cusp of, training camp, the foreseeable future with Nashville, which has Juuse Saros long-term and Scott Wedgwood short-term. Marty was miffed at why his camp would make a big deal about not reporting to Milwaukee. At this point in time, like, how about just go to Predators camp and try to earn the Predators job and then not worry about Milwaukee? But he's obviously staring at the Saros roadblock. So that being said, Askarov is 6'4". He's got a couple of good AHL seasons under his belt. He was a first-round pick 11th overall in 2020. How do you project Askarov? Should Nashville be willing to move him right now? What teams should be suitors for him right now based on their current goaltending stables?
It gets really interesting when you go through all the machinations of the Askarov situation, because I do think he's the talent level is there. Mm-hmm. He's a bona fide, to me, starting NHL goaltender at some point down the road. Not yet. I want to see him rise to the occasion when the pressure's on. Mm-hmm. Until he does that, that's like the last little box that I think he needs to check for me. I think that there's a lot of teams that should be looking at him. The one that, and first of all, I don't want to parrot Marty. I did miss, and I apologize, I did miss his take on this. So you said he was miffed. I agree. The kid should go to camp and compete. And a lot of times I know your org two will be your AHL one. And maybe that's how it would end up. But he could better his own situation, just go and just have a chip on his shoulder and be better than Saros in camp.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why not? Just go and do it, compete. That's the nature of the beast. No jobs are handed to you anywhere. But, you know, the one team that I keep looking at as far as, like, it just makes sense to me, just where they're at, and they're kind of rebuilding, and they got a lot of young talent, the skaters position, they got a lot of capital, is San Jose. I think that, I know they have Blackwood, they have Vanacek. This is a young player. He's, 22? Mm-hmm. Askarov, he could grow with that younger group that's developing. They got a lot. Like, it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, kind of like a lot of the things that you hear Kevin Adams say when he's looking at add players, guys he can bring in, they fit that core group. That makes sense to me. I know you have one, another Western team.
Well, I got many.
Yeah, I know you have one, but like the San Jose one to me makes a lot of sense. I see Jersey connected. Like, really? I think the media is kind of, but, you know, I don't know. You know, I mean, maybe, but it's going to be more of the same.
I mean, if Markstrom only had 1 year on his deal, I would have been more likely to push on that angle. San Jose has multiple first round picks. So you have to think of it as, what is Nashville going to realistically want in return? I would assume they'll take a first back, call it a day. And if teams are happy with that, well, if you're putting it that way, teams that have firsts at their disposal, meaning multiples, Calgary, Chicago, San Jose. Now, Utah doesn't have a surplus of firsts, but they have 10 picks in the first three rounds over the next 2 years.
That's
so they could literally trade like 5 seconds for this guy, right? So they don't have much. Like, there might be an opportunity for Askarov to come in and just take it in Utah right now, right? Like, you've got Vemelka and Ingram, and I know they've retooled their defense, and it's exciting first year and all the rest of it, but Columbus, to me, should be in on it. Montreal should be in on it. They have two firsts as well. Vancouver, based on some Demko conjecture as to his health, and my wild card in all of it, Washington.
Washington always, and not just because of the nationality.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. They're sneaky, and they just, that's a team, they will not go away.
They got Logan Thompson on his final year, and they got Charlie Lindgren on his final year. And I get all due respect to Hunter Shepherd and everything he's done for the Bears and their Calder Cups win the last 2 years, but he's not first round pedigree. And unfortunately, that tends to shape some pathways for some people to the NHL. So yep. I don't know. You think he'll get traded?
I think he'll get traded eventually. I think Trotz will pull the trigger.
Yeah.
But I think he's also going to be a little patient. Like, he's not going to have a young goalie prospect force his hand ever. Mm-hmm. But let's see how his attitude, like the attitude, you got to see him come into camp. It's easy to judge based on reports and not hear the player talk and not see him in action. Let's see him get into camp. Let's see him be a professional, you know, and like, and if he's bettering his position in the eyes of other teams, that makes Barry's job a lot easier to move him and get the return that he commands. All the teams that you mentioned, like Calgary, I just don't think that they would block Dustin Wolf's path. I think they really like him.
Mm-hmm.
The other team that I see media types talk about, which to me, it doesn't make sense, Colorado, because they just drafted a really good young goaltending prospect, another Russian, Ilya Nabokov. And I think that kid is legit. And he's 21 years old right now. So he's got one more year. He's going to play for Magnitogorsk, and then he'll probably come over and he could be just as impressive of an NHL prospect out of the box when he gets here as Askarov is, even though he wasn't taken as high in the draft and didn't come with all the accolades at a young age that Askarov did.
No question. So
And I know you didn't mention him. I just see others talking about it.
Yeah, no, we've talked enough about what is Georgiev, you know, after leading the NHL in wins the last 2 years. But yeah, he's going to play himself into a situation where he needs a new deal. Anonen was good last year as the backup. So it's high expectations. Sometimes you gamble. I wouldn't exclude Colorado from the conversation.
I like your Washington and Utah assessments the best. Of all the ones that you threw out there, just kind of marinating on them here for a minute.
Yeah.
Both of those make a lot of sense. That Utah one makes a lot of sense.
Thank you for circling around on Colorado. On my list, I started to write them, then I crossed them out, but you've convinced me that I should have had them on there all along. All right, Bakes. I know there's more FedEx golf to watch, early returns on round one of the, what do they call this? Is this the second to
this
last
is the tournament? BMW championship out of Castle Pines. So I dipped into my, in honor of Duffer, I dipped into my Canadian bucket here and a little Taylor Pendrith action, but I saw that he took a bogey, started off pretty warm, and we'll see how he does today. But I like him for first round leader, teeing off early. So we'll see how he pulls through here.
Sounds good. We'll pay attention to that and have you back on soon. Thanks, Bakes.
Thanks, Duffer.
There he is, Chris Baker. Sabres prospects, folks, we've got FanFest coming up. This is always a hit in mid-September. This year, it ties in nicely with the Prospects Challenge. It's presented by Coca-Cola Zero Sugar. Of course, fun hockey games, skills challenges, player appearances, autographs. It all runs in conjunction with Hockey Fest, which is the street hockey tournament on Saturday, September 14th in Alumni Plaza. All the details at sabres.com. Speaking of, lead writer for said website, Jordan LaBarber, next on Sabres Live.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.